Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of the Way UK podcast. My name is Zenya and I'm joined with Jesse. And today we are back in our generosity series.
We are indeed.
It's been really good. I've been loving it. Have you been loving it?
I have been loving it. It's been fun. Yeah. It's been challenging. And it's made me think a lot, which is good. I love it when our job makes us think a lot.
Well, that's helpful. Yeah, you know. Your job helps you think. I think this week was a bit of a thinker because today we're going to be talking about the topic of serving.
Mm.
And I know even just hearing the word serving might be like, what do you mean by serving? Like, I've never served before. Maybe you have served before. But I hope this one will be a good chance for us to all think about moments where we can serve and we can give back to others and be generous as we've been kind of figuring out what generosity looks like in a couple of different areas.
Yeah.
So I reckon let's just hop in. And my first question, I'm going to put you on the hot seat, Jesse, because I feel like we want to know.
It's a bit vulnerable because it's just me and you today.
Yeah.
Which means you can ask me and me, you can ask a question. And I'm the only one that can answer it.
Yeah, there's no one else.
So there's no one else to take my place.
But then also, this could be the hot seat.
Because Jesus took my place for me. Sorry, too much. Go again.
I was going to say, that's a great segue into what we're talking about later. Jesus. Yeah. But before that, I wanted to ask you, has there ever been a moment where somebody served you and it lingered, it had an impact, it made you think, wow, it changed my life.
Changed my life.
Or it impacted you deeply.
Impacted me deeply. Big, deep. Yes.
Big can be small.
I mean, on Tuesday, when we were thinking about this podcast, I sent you a text in the morning. I said, Zenya, I haven't had a chance to have breakfast. Do you mind picking me up an almond croissant? And what did you do?
I did.
You picked me up an almond croissant. That was amazing. I guess that was serving. You served in a moment and you bought me a croissant.
Yeah.
That was kind. I wouldn't say it changed my life, but it certainly had an effect. It
changed your day.
Changed my day for sure. Changed my hour.
Wow, well, we went from a day to an hour. That's crazy.
But serving. Has anyone ever served me deeply? I have had I remember when I went to buy a car. When I was 17 and my parents went first to go scout the car and make sure it was all okay.
Mm.
And the lady was a Christian and she was like, I'd love to bless you and serve you so you can have the car for free. And that served me. Like I ended up learning to drive.
Car.
Yeah, I know. It was brilliant. I got to drive. Like I learned, got my license.
Lord, but, I see what you do for others.
Yeah, I know. I want that now.
I'm
looking for a car at the moment. Shakayana. But that's not really funny. Serving though, is it? That's like that's generosity in terms of giving.
Mm.
But serving, has anyone ever served me? And it's quite interesting. It's an interesting like subject because I don't often think about it outside of church.
Yeah.
I just think about it in church a lot. You know? Mm. What about you?
I'm even trying to think myself.
Like someone does the dishes. Like I guess that's serving, right?
I'm never going to serve in that way. I'm so sorry.
Never.
I'm not doing dishes. Actually, I might. Like, if
bit of a, red
a
flag,
friend cooked
I'll be honest.
For me, no, it's not a red flag.
That is a red flag.
Because if I cook the meal, I'm not going to do the dishes. But in saying that, if a friend like went out of their way to like cook me a meal, I think I'd probably give back by being like,
so
hey, can I help tidy
other.
Up? Yeah, I can't do both. I'm so sorry. But I think in a way that I have been served. I don't know why I had this really random memory of like when I was younger and I had surgery when I was younger. And this was when I was like 7 years old and it was quite an invasive surgery. It was like on my belly. It was like really invasive. But I was like out for a while. So I had to recover. And my mum, like she served me, like she would bring me breakfast in bed because I couldn't like really get up. She would like help me get around the house. Like she would bring things to me and like that way of like being sacrificial. I feel like she served me then because she did the things that I couldn't do for myself. And I think a large part of serving is doing that. It's doing things for others that they might not know how to do or like need a bit of assistance. And that can be something drastic, like, you know, looking after someone that's had a surgery, or it can be something like someone's having a bad day and you get them a coffee. Like that can also be a form of serving.
Yeah, totally. What do you think some other examples of serving are there?
In life.
In life.
I think in the church, context, you can join a team or help out in an area. You know, if you've got a worship team, or if you've got a production team, or a kids team, youth team, all these different teams that churches can have, you might think, oh, like, I want to serve in one of those, or maybe serving for a charity or like a nonprofit, like helping with different initiatives, like people on the streets, homeless people, rough sleepers, or people that, I don't know, don't have enough, and you give food, you know, like food banks and stuff like that. That's another form of serving. Mm. I think it's anything that, you know, you look for a need, and it's like, how can I fill a need? How can I play my part? Mm. And I think that's what serving can look like. What do you think? Did I miss something? I don't know. Did I miss something?
No.
No? Great. Thank you.
You smashed it. Oh. We've kind of listed some serving things, listed some of our experiences.
Mm.
I guess I'd be curious to look at the Bible.
Oh, yeah, let's do it.
And should we like look at some, because I think there's, you know, we've talked about good things, but there's also
God things.
Oh. And bad things.
And ungod things.
Ungod things. Like, there's lots of different heart processes when it comes to serving. Yeah. Serving is great. It's a great giver. Like, you get to help people. You get to serve. Like, that's pretty cool. But also, it can spark a lot in us. And there's a lot of motives that can be confusing around the subject. So I thought, why don't we just jump to the Bible and read the scripture that we've got for this.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny because it feels like we come to the scripture every other podcast. Yeah. Like, some, like, we're here a lot, but it's because it's just so good. Do you want to read it, or should I read it?
I can read it. It's a great one. It's Philippians 2, guys. If you know, you know. Mm. You probably do know. But if you don't know, it says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Mm. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to use to his own advantage, but rather he made himself nothing by taking on the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross.
Mm.
And just for a little bit of context, we did a podcast series last year on Philippians, which, if you haven't seen it, check it out, because we definitely talked about this scripture. But
I wasn't on Philippians 2, though.
Yeah, I don't think I was. Oh, no, I was.
No, you were.
I was there. But for context about Philippians, Paul's writing to a church community that are suffering persecution, but also he's writing from being in prison. So he's in prison and he sends this letter out.
Mm.
And it's interesting to hear him talk about suffering and talk about rejoicing in suffering from a place of being in prison, like not sure if he's going to live, if he's going to die, what's the situation. But he talks about, actually, in all things, that we should be people that are like Jesus. And what is one of the, like, when we think of Jesus, we think of humility. We think of somebody that didn't come and say, oh, everybody needs to serve me. But actually, what can I do and how can I serve others?
Mm.
Which is very countercultural, because our world doesn't teach us to give, give, give. It actually tells us to take, 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 consume, consume. What can I get out of this? Mm. Rather than actually, you know, how can I lay my life down?
Mm.
Yeah.
And what I love about this scripture, I mean, I love all of it,
but so good.
Particularly in the area of serving. I love verse 7 where it says, like, forget, like, because it says rather to start with. So instead of taking advantage because he was God, basically, he decided to make himself nothing by taking on the very nature of a servant. And for me, nature stood out as like a word.
Did it, Jesse?
Yes, I'm telling you.
Nature.
Show me your nature. Stream now on Spotify, Show Me Your Nature by Jesse Felly.
No.
you were asking for it.
Anyway, no, actually was asking for it.
But nature does show up, because nature's not just, it's not just like what you do, but it's who you are.
Wow.
It's like, by taking very nature of a servant, it's not just like he was God, he was all powerful, and he performed these certain acts which would be associated as servant. But no, it's like, in very nature, he became someone of service. He became a server. And so like there's this almost like embodiment. I know that's a big word, but like embodiment of the characteristic of serving. Like it's kind of hard to put words to it, but it's deeper than just helping out. It's deeper than just doing something on the side, like every now and then, every couple of weeks, because why not? It's what the Bible says to do. It's like an embodiment of a culture for yourself.
Yeah.
It's an embodiment of a characteristic. It becomes nature to give out. It becomes nature to serve. And you see that. You see Jesus doing that. You see him consistently choosing to be interruptible and serve someone in front of them. Like we were talking a little bit about the story where there's a daughter who's dying and Jesus is traveling to this daughter. We talked about this on another podcast. I can't remember which one. But Jesus is traveling to the daughter to go heal her. And yet there was this other miracle that happened along the way and Jesus stopped. He's like, who touched me? Who touched my garment? Oh, no, everyone's touching me, but who was it who touched me with faith to be healed? Finds this woman. She'd been going through a lot. He stops and is interruptible. The other daughter dies, but then he's like, no, it's fine. She's just sleeping. That's like a really weird overview of the story. And then he goes and heals her and tells her to wake up. Basically, God in his like nature longs to be with other people and to help other people and serve other people. Mm. And nothing will stop him from that. No plan will stop him from that. From the world's perspective, his plan to go and help this other girl who is dying is of highest importance.
Right.
But in his nature, he's desperate to help and serve whoever. And so he's happy to be interruptible when there's a bit of an inconvenience. And so like, what can we learn when we're like trying to be servanthood? It's like, no, how do I adopt this as a habit so that I'm not annoyed when the interruptions happen? Mm. When serving doesn't feel like a cost anymore, it feels like a joy. How do I embody that? How do I take that on for myself?
That's so good.
Sorry, that's a bit of a weird
point. It's great.
And I don't know how those two kind of link, but I think they do.
No, they do link. It's about when it says in the scripture, it says in humility, value others above yourself. Like, and that's what Jesus did. Like, he didn't consider equality with God was something to be grasped. Like, he didn't see, oh, I'm God, I'm good, you know, I'm great. I know these humans are struggling. These people are in their sin, but I'm great up here. I don't need to get down and help them and they can stay in their mess. No, he considered our needs as the greatest importance and became a man. Like, wow, if Jesus can consider the needs of others and really step down and die for them on a cross, like crucifixion is no light thing. That was like the most humiliating form of punishment. And he took that upon himself because he saw our needs and then he stepped in the gap for us. Mm. And it's like, how do we, I know it's quite deep to like think about the cross, but one, it said it in the scripture, so hey. And two, like the whole point of, or the whole, like Christianity just hangs on the cross. Like the cross is one of the most central parts of what we believe, you know? And I think as people that wanna be more like Jesus and wanna follow in the ways of Jesus, how do we have that cross-like sacrificial service for others? How do we do that? Brilliant. And we read it through the scriptures and we embody it. Like Jesus gave so we can give.
Yeah.
That kind of vibe.
Well, let's talk a bit more about motives.
Yeah.
Because I think that's really important. Because like ultimately you can do everything in your life. Like you can serve on church every week. You can do all these deeds. You can do all these works. And you know, there's that chapter in the Bible where someone comes up to God and is like, I've done all this thing. And Jesus is telling this story. It says, at the end times, people will come to me and say, I cast out this in your name. I did this in your name. I was there for you in this, like I did this in your name. I healed in your name. But I will turn around and say, I never knew you. Which sparks the question and the reality of, oh man, like, I guess it's not like works, which equate to relationship with God. Okay, I guess it's not what I do which results in more closeness with God. Okay, I guess it's not about what I do.
Mm.
You can do things for God forever and still not know him. Like Revelation 2, another great chapter where it's talking to the church in Ephesus and it's like, you did this in my name, you did this in my name, you persevered in my name, but you forgot the love that you had. Like we can actually serve and it not be good. we can get it wrong when we're serving. And that's kind of why we're talking about it a little bit, because we kind of want to just check in, like, because it's so easy to get swept away with our time serving in church all the time. And so this is almost like a, okay, like, but why? It's like the big why question. And for us, there's another scripture in 2 Corinthians 4:18, which I'll just read. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. And it's a bit of a funny verse to be here and like for us to draw on a little bit.
Right.
But what we loved about it when we talked about it was it's talking about sowing into something bigger than the now.
Mm.
It's sowing into something that cannot be seen. Things that will last forever that we can't see. And what we mean by that is like, I know it's a funny word, but like fruit, like results of things. And I think sometimes in our serving, we can get a little caught up in just the motions of it that we forget that we're actually, to put it back in like kind of Jesus language, sowing into something eternal. Like we're sowing seeds of something that can last forever. We're sowing and like investing into something that is not just for the now, not just for the church on a Sunday. Yes, it is for that. But also it's good to remember that what we're investing in lasts for eternity.
Mm.
It's about the kingdom of God. It's about heaven. Like serving on youth team is a great example. Like we can be caught up with the numbers. Okay, how many people are coming? Or like caught up with just the doing. Like, oh, I guess as a Christian, I should probably serve on this team. But we forget that we're actually investing into heavenly things, into eternal things. Trusting that by turning up on a Sunday to serve on youth team and bringing your little piece of wisdom to little 12-year-old Timmy.
Shout out 12-year-old Timmy.
12-year-old Timmy, go you. Like you're trusting that actually what you're doing, what you're saying, what you're speaking is going to last forever, last for eternity, actually impact what heaven looks like, God's kingdom. And that's kind of like, I don't know, something I think we can lose sometimes when we serve.
Mm.
Because the heart is so weird, you know. I feel like when I serve, because like I personally serve on the worship team and youth team, like,
oh,
and I know the both and.
Double
but
trouble.
Like I can sometimes come at it from a good posture and sometimes come at it a bad. Sometimes it's just the next thing in my diary and I don't even think twice about it. But sometimes I remember the reason and I remember that God is doing something deep here. I remember that God has a plan in the youth. God has a plan in worship for him to break out in and do things that last forever.
Mm.
And I think just checking the motive sometimes is really important.
Yeah, I 100% agree. Like for me, I started serving in church when I was 19 and I was leading a young adult Bible study. And sometimes I look back on that and I'm like, what did you know at 19 to be leading a young adult group? But hey, I was put there. And I remember like when the group started, it was very early days. I was like two people that were coming and then one of them moved away. So then it was just me and it was really tough.
Just you on your own?
Yeah, no. And I was like messaging so many group chats being like, hey guys, we have a new Bible study that's starting. And like no one was coming for like 3-4 months and it was really tough. And I remember like having a moment with God when I was in the bathroom, when I was about to go out to Bible study and like I just had a feeling no one was going to turn up and I just sat on the floor and I was crying and I was like, God, I don't feel seen.
Mm.
Like I'm serving and I'm doing the stuff, but I just don't feel valued.
Mm.
And I think so many people can serve in a particular area in church or just serve and help people out in life and feel like, oh, no one sees me. Like I'm giving out so much and I don't feel appreciated. And it goes back to the thing of actually, no, we're doing this for like to store it in heaven. It's like that scripture in Matthew 6 that says, don't store your treasures on earth where the moths will eat and destroy them, but store your treasures in heaven. Mm. It's like when we serve, like you said, it's not for the now, it's for what's to come later. Mm. And actually I had a moment where I could have given up. I could have been like, actually, no, this is too hard. I've been doing this for 3-4 months. It's done now. But actually I chose to push past the feeling of like not being seen because I knew that God saw me.
Yeah.
And like God was fully aware of what I was doing in that moment. And I'm actually so glad that I stuck around, because people started to come and find friendship and find fellowship, and actually find in this busy city of London, a couple people that love Jesus that are in the same age as them. And now they're like friends for life. So I think, like, I don't know, this kind of turned into a little bit of an encouragement, but if you're listening to this and you're like, wow, I am serving, I'm doing this stuff, but I don't feel seen, God sees you. Like, he really sees you. And I know that from personal experience, he saw me. And the fruit of serving is just beautiful. But you only get a harvest if you stick around. You pull out early in. Dang. No harvest.
That's so good. I mean, I've got so many thoughts brewing. I guess it's kind of like the way that you're speaking, it's kind of like worship as well, isn't it? It's it's doing something for God as well. And it's like a worshipful act. I don't know. Do you know what I mean?
No, yeah, yeah. Because like the way that I understand worship, worship's not just like the music we listen to or like that moment on a Sunday, but worship's everything that we do, like our lifestyle, our lives are worship to God. It's a response to God's love. Like how I live is me responding to that love that he's given me. And so how do I respond? By serving God, which also looks like serving people. But ultimately, like, we don't do it for the people primarily. Primarily, we do it for God because we want to worship him and give back to him, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And do you know what you don't want to do?
I'm scared.
Worship the serving.
Oh.
Genuinely.
He went there.
Like,
oh, no.
I've kind of, you know, I've alluded to it a little bit that you can do it for the wrong reasons.
Yeah.
But just to name some things that I know have come up, has come up in my experience of serving, and I'd love to just kind of hit home a little bit because I'm going on this process myself, and I'd love to, I don't know, just name some things.
Yeah.
Ego, status, like, you know, we like really like a stage as humans.
Because we like attention.
Because we like attention and we like being affirmed by loads of people in the congregation looking at us or saying, wow, pastor, that was so good what you spoke. And that doesn't mean that you can't speak anything good or can't do anything good on a stage, but it means, but there is this opportunity for you to speak on a stage or lead worship on a stage for the affirmation of man rather than the affirmation of God. And that's pretty scary and that's pretty dangerous. And I think you see it a lot. I think a lot of people look to those who are on the worship team and they're like, wow, that's it. That looks so cool.
Yeah.
I want to do that so that I'm on the stage because I like, it's a, kind of like a weird power dynamic as well. It's like, I don't know, just the stage serving in front of people. It's a very easy place to find validation as well as a Christian. Like, oh, I've served today, God, so you must love me. And then when we don't feel that, it's like, oh, I've served today, God, so my pastor will love me. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, there's so many places where you can look for validation. But actually, it kind of like affects the motives of why we serve. And so we have to be quite careful. And I, you know, for everyone, it's so different. And for me, I still am on the stage like every week. Like, I'll be there this week playing the piano. But it, and I've gone on my own process with it. But I would say, like, if you are wanting to be on worship team, if you are even on worship team, it's good to just ask simply the question, like, why am I actually doing this? Like, am I doing this because God has called me to do this? Am I doing this out of an overflow of worship to God? Or am I doing this because I actually just quite like the validation that I'm getting from being on the stage, the validation I'm getting from ticking off boxes for God and feeling like I've been productive for God, so therefore I can earn love from God?
Yeah.
And so that, like, why question in your own context, wherever you are, is just really helpful to ask sometimes.
Mm-hmm. And it's not just like serving in church, but also on social media as well. Like, you might do something and want to post about it, like, oh, I've helped this person today, or I've done this thing. There's nothing wrong with that, but again, it's the heart posture. Like, why are you taking that picture and posting it? Is it because you want people to say, oh, well done, you've done such a great job, that's awesome? Or is it because actually you already feel the affirmation and you know from your good and heavenly Father, like, well done, my good and faithful servant. You already know you're good, and therefore you just want to share it to inspire others to serve as well. So all these things, it's all about, like, heart posture. What's the why?
And the thing I love about serving is it's so countercultural. as well. Massive, like, we've talked about it a little bit, like, of how to, like, navigate what it is to serve. But you chat to someone outside of a church context and you're like, hey, like, you know, I serve, I give loads of time. Like, they, to an extent, do have, like, some understanding. Like, oh, yeah, volunteering at this thing, volunteering at this thing. But to live your whole life from a posture, from a nature of serving.
Nature.
Is, like, so separate.
Mm.
Because ultimately, if you break down, like, okay, but, like, what do you actually believe? Like, who do you actually think is the most important person? It's me. Like, I'm serving because it's good to do, but ultimately, like, I'm the priority.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's specifically wrong in a heart to try and, like, to prioritize yourself in some scenarios and to find, like, a self-love is what the world will call it. What I call it is, like, a godly love that you get to walk in.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't think it's wrong to think of yourself, yes, because actually we've learned to love our neighbor more than we've learned to love ourselves, but we're meant to love our neighbor like we love ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And so I do think, you know, there is a need at the moment for Christians to learn grace and love. Yes, we've seen that as a theme for a couple weeks, couple months, honestly, like, that keeps coming up.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, Christ in his very nature was serving. Christ in his very nature was a servant. Christ in his very nature wanted to give and bless and wash feet and die to the point of, like, of being on a cross. Christ in his very nature gave everything for others. And we as Christians, Christians, should be learning like what it is to walk like Christ.
Yeah, it's true.
And so, yes, there is a need to prioritize yourself sometimes, mm-hmm. some self. But I think we do need to learn how to serve out of that flow of grace a bit more often. And so actually, I think serving in itself as a nature is very countercultural to what the world says. And we chose this verse, which is Matthew 5. You've heard the law say that says, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say, Jesus speaking, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. In that way, you will be acting as true children of your Father in heaven. For he gives his sunlight to both the evil and the good, and he sends rain on the just and the unjust alike. If you love only those who love you, what reward is there for that? Even corrupt tax collectors do that much. If you are kind only to your friends, how are you different from anyone else? Even the pagans do that. But you are to be perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Jesus is prodding us and kind of like snapping us like out of our norms a little bit. Because he's so real. I'm reading this and I'm like, yeah, it's so easy to be kind to my friends.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so easy to serve my friends. Yeah, it's so easy to love my friends who love me back.
Yeah.
But Jesus is saying, as a Christian, the call isn't just to love when you can receive love back.
Mm.
As a Christian, the call is to love when you don't know if it's going to come back.
That's great.
And that's what the cross was. He loved for the world that they may know Jesus and know the Father through Jesus, even if everyone rejected it. He went to the cross for us. And like that's the subtle difference between culture and Christian culture. Culture will say, like, yes, it's good to serve others, but never at the expense of yourself. Yes, it's good to show love, but also remember you've got to receive love in return. But Christian culture says, no, you love without anything in return. You pray for your enemies. Cancel culture is such a prime example of that. We yeah. love you until you get one mistake wrong and then we'll remove you
mm-hmm.
and we won't focus on you anymore. And we'll look to the next person until they get one mistake wrong and then we'll remove them. Like, there's no grace. There's no love. It's love. And if you don't give love back, if you make a mistake, then you're gone. But the Bible says we need to love our enemies. We need to love the hardest of people. And that in itself, I think, is serving. Choosing to love someone. Choosing to bless someone, choosing to pray for someone, I guess could be seen as a form of serving because you're choosing to do something that isn't very natural. It's hard. You're giving something. It's costing something. choosing to love your enemy. I don't want to do that. I mean, I don't really have any enemies. Do you have any enemies?
No, not nemesis that I'm aware of.
Like, I haven't got the Joker around the corner or like the Riddler.
Well, no, not
Thanos.
Oh, big enemy.
Big enemy. Well, he's Thanos a big enemy.
A huge enemy.
He's a fantasy, though.
True.
He's not real. So would you say it?
Oh, it's true. The enemy is real. Oh.
Yes, we do have an enemy.
Yeah, the enemy. Yeah. Thanks for bringing that, Jesse. I have nothing else to say after that. I feel like you just knocked everything out of the park.
What did I even say? I don't know.
You said a lot of good things about like loving your enemies and how we don't serve when it's convenient, but we're actually serving is inconvenience. It's going above and beyond. It's not the people that, you know, love us that will give us the love back, but actually we serve to give out, not to for self-gain. Like Jesus, he didn't consider equality with God. Like, he didn't serve to cling to things. No, he served to let go.
That's what I said.
Basically, yeah.
Oh, mate. Good job, me. I feel like you might have articulated a bit better, though.
No, you definitely did well. I'm just very concise. I'm good at summary. But I will say that the Bible is full of examples of what that looks like.
Amen.
And Jesus tells a story. Somebody asks Jesus, like, oh, how do I love my neighbor? Like, who's my neighbor? And Jesus tells this parable of the Good Samaritan. We've done a podcast on it before. You guys check it out. So many people know this story, but essentially there's a Jewish guy that's on a journey. Jesus is telling the story of how he gets beaten up and basically left for dead at the side of the road. And then there's like a rabbi that comes by and looks at him and doesn't extend help, just continues his journey. Mm. And then there's, who's the other guy? It was the guy that was helping. Yeah, the Levite. He was like assisting the rabbi at the temple. He goes by, he looks at the man. He's like, okay, I'll go about my business. But then there's a Samaritan that comes. Mm. And the like tension point here is that in those days, the Jews and the Samaritans did not hang out. They were not friends. In fact, it could have costed him his life, that Samaritan, to be seen by other Jewish people in the area. Like, why are you here? Are you here to cause trouble? Those kind of things. But actually, rather than preserving his life and carrying on his journey and keeping his convenience, he stops and he helps the man. And not only does he help him, he brings him to like, was it like an inn or like a hospital? Mm. And he pays for his treatment and he leaves him. And like, I don't know, we can read the story and think, oh, that's great. That's so like extreme. You know, I'm not really going to see somebody like left for dead on the side of the road and have to help them. But I think what Jesus is speaking to is the fact that it's not just those that sound like us, look like us, come from our backgrounds that we should be helping. But actually, we should be helping everyone. We should be serving everyone. There's no limits to who you can serve. You can serve anyone. But it's, are you willing to? Like, are you willing to go low? Mm. Are you willing to, for it to cost you some things? Mm. Are you willing to risk it to help somebody? And actually, in those moments where we go lower, that's actually when Jesus can step in.
Mm.
And those are moments where God's love can really show. And we want to be people that spread God's love. So those are the moments where actually, no, let me get out of my inconvenience and serve.
Yeah. And I love what you said about like, are we willing to risk? Like, are we willing to bring a cost of some sort?
Yeah.
Because the thing I love about this story, the Good Samaritan, something that you might not always pick up on, but the rabbi and the Levite, to an extent, had very good reasoning to leave this guy on the side of the road.
Oh, yeah.
Not in like a, you know, you never have like a good reason to leave someone dead on the street.
Mm.
But the rabbi, who is a Jewish leader of some sort, if this guy was turned out to be dead and the rabbi like touches him, checks if he's all right and he's dead, he becomes unclean.
Yeah.
And by Jewish tradition, that would mean that he probably wouldn't be able to do any sort of ministry or priestly work or rabbi work for the next couple of weeks. And so for him, when he sees this guy and he's like, oh, this guy's like, he might be dead. I should probably check. Oh, but if I check and it turns out he is dead, then I can't worship God for 2 weeks. Then I can't do my duties as a leader in the church for the next 2 weeks. Oh, that's a bit of a reason. What do I do? Do I see him? Okay, I'm not going to do that. And the Levite being probably his servant walking by, knowing that the rabbi has probably walked by and chosen not to address him.
Right.
You know, if your leader, if the person who's mentoring you chooses not to help someone, it's probably for a reason. So he's probably like, oh man, my rabbi didn't do this. I guess the rabbi's probably got a reason for that. I'm going to leave him as well.
Yep.
There are always reasons not to go the extra mile. There is always a reason not to serve. There is always a reason. Oh, I'm too tired. Oh, like I've really got to be at this meeting. Otherwise, you know, the world will fall apart.
Mm.
Oh, like it just doesn't feel very inconvenient. And I kind of briefly touched on it earlier about Jesus's interruptible way of living.
Yeah.
I think we have to adopt that when it comes to serving as well. We have to be willing to be interrupted with our schedules, with our priorities, with our plans. We have to be willing to give out something, to give this cost, to go the extra mile like Jesus did, like turning back to Jesus all the time. Jesus did on the cross. He was willing to go, and not just an extra mile, like
the whole mile.
The whole mile. Like he went to the cross, he died.
Miles on miles.
What a, like it describes that as an act of serving in Philippians. Yeah. Like, are we willing? That's a big question. Are we willing to live interruptible lives? Are we willing to be servants outside of church context on the streets when we see people, homeless people who are just like struggling, when mm-hmm. we see pain in so many people's lives? Are we willing to serve then and give our time?
Yeah.
Are we willing to serve and stop and maybe we'll just save a life? It might not be a literal physical life like the Good Samaritan, like this story,
mm-hmm.
but hey, maybe it's an eternal life.
Yeah.
Maybe it's salvation. Are you willing to stop and chat to someone on the street about Jesus? Are you willing to serve that way?
Mm-hmm.
Don't be confined with your serving within church or even within soup kitchens, volunteering at charities. Yes, these are good things. Yes, do them. I'm not against that. I think they're very needed.
Yeah.
But I also think that we're in need of having lessons like what it is to serve people become our nature, that it just spills into our every action when we're walking down the street.
That's really good.
Not just an action that we do on a Sunday. This has to be a nature that we embody every single day. Sure.
And I think just to like round it off practically, like what if someone's listening and they're like, I want to serve, but what does that mean? Or how do I serve? Like, I think praying about it is such a big step, because really what it is there's so many needs out here in the world. There are so many areas where people need things, and you can actually be an answer and step into that gap and fill that need.
Mm.
So whether that is volunteering at a soup kitchen, or whether that is volunteering on a Sunday on children's team and looking after these children, like there are so many different ways that you can serve, and God can reveal it to you.
Mm.
Like we did a podcast a couple months ago on First Peter, and we talked about how with the gifts that God gives us, the gifts are actually to love. Like they are opportunities for us to act in loving ways so that God can show his love in different pockets of our serving. Yeah, it may all look different, but the core reason why we do it is to express God's love and to be vessels of God's love. And so maybe you're like, oh, I don't know what to serve, or I don't know how to serve. When you think about it, what's a way that you can act to love somebody else? Like whether that is handing out coffees at church, or whether that is doing an after school club, or whatever that might look like, what's your way of being like, actually, I want to express love in this way. I want to express the love of Jesus by doing this. And that's probably a good step in the right direction.
Yeah. And my little takeaway as well, which will sound familiar because I've been going back to it a lot as a word.
Nature. Like,
show me your nature. Genuinely, my song. Pray for this. No, I'm not kidding. Like let me just remember the song lyrics. This is not a plug. Like, take me to the mountaintop and show me your nature. It's the first lyric of the song. It's like it's based off like Abraham.
Sorry.
I know this is hilarious, but it's based off Abraham going up to the mountain and seeing God and having his nature revealed to him. And so my little ad lib, show me your face, Lord. Take to the mountaintop and show me your nature, show me your face, Lord. As I lift my eyes to you, I see nothing greater. My passions fade away.
Oh, I've even got the lyrics.
You got the lyrics, so it's okay, don't worry. My passions fade away. I know this is a bit funny, but like when we behold God, when we see God, when we look to God, his nature is imprinted into us.
Yeah.
And this is, you know, we can practically say, okay, like, guys, here's five practicals. First, ask your church leader, how can I serve? Yes, you should do that. Second, start serving on a Sunday. Like, yeah, we can do that. That is good. But the call to serving is so much bigger than just the church. It's just so much bigger than just confined by the four walls of church on a Sunday service.
Yeah.
So my advice, if it was to leave anything, is learn the nature of God so that your heart moves with compassion in moments. Your heart moves with compassion on the streets. Your heart is happy to be interrupted when you get to serve someone through helping someone lift their suitcase upstairs in the underground.
Mm.
Like, don't just do in serving. Become what it is to be a servant, like Christ is, like his nature is. Show us your face, Lord. Let my passions fade away because I lift my eyes to you. Like, genuinely, this is what we have to do.
Pour out. Done that day.
Oh, this wasn't a plug for my song.
But that was actually really good, though. And actually, I enjoyed being corrected on those lyrics. I will never sing it wrong again.
Yeah,
no,
thanks.
But I think this was such a needed conversation. And I think it's so practical, you know. Sometimes serving can look like this big thing, but actually you can really just narrow it down and it can be something so achievable and so doable.
Mm.
And so if you're listening or watching this podcast, maybe you've never thought about serving before, like practically, you've never been like, hey, I'd serve on a Sunday, but maybe you want to now. Or maybe you're like, oh, there's a charity I'd like to get involved with and help. Like, I just think our heart for having this conversation is to, I guess, normalize serving. You know, it's a normal thing to do, but it's a good God thing to do. Mm. And so we hope you enjoyed listening to this conversation. Maybe give us a comment if you're watching on YouTube. We'd love to hear what you have to say. And yeah, I'm sure you'll see another episode in this series.
You search
somewhere
up on Spotify.
And listen to Show Me Your Nature on Spotify or wherever you get your music. Anyways, thank you guys for listening to this podcast. And we'll see you in the next episode.
We will see you soon. Bless you guys.